You have your Bibles, turn with me this morning, please, to the book of Lamentations. If you find the book of Isaiah, then the book of Jeremiah, then the book of Lamentations falls in there right before the book of Ezekiel. Lamentations chapter number 3. Thank you for being here this morning. Thank you for praying. Let's just enter into the service and ask God to speak to our hearts. If you have your Bibles this morning, we're going to begin reading in verse 21. That's not the only verses we're going to read, but throughout the service we'll be looking at some more. But let's read this for the text. Stand with me if you would, please, in reverence to the Word of God. Good to see each one of you in the house of the Lord today. We are missing folks due to illness, due to death. Some are vacating, and I understand all that. But it always brings a great deal of peace to my heart to know that before the world was ever spoken into existence, God knew who would be here today, and God knew the need. I didn't know the need. That's why I have to get on my knees and beg Him to give me what our precious people need. The Bible said this, I recall to mind in verse 21, therefore have I hope. Hope is a wonderful thing, is it not? The Word of God said is of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed, because His compassions fail not. Verse 23 said, they are new every morning. And then it says these words, great is thy faithfulness. How many would say with me today that I've not always been faithful, but He's always been faithful? I've let Him down. Brother David, He's never let me down. And He never will. What a Savior we have. The Bible said in verse 24, the Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope. Those last two words are important. In Him. That's where our trust is to be. That's where our confidence is to be. That's where our faith is to be. In Him. You can be seated. Pray for us this morning. Father, I pray this morning that Jesus would just magnify His presence in the service this day. Father, I pray that You would just speak to hearts. Lord, Brother Ralph just came out and said it a while ago. It ought to be the desire of every child of God. Let us see someone saved. Let us see someone's life changed. Let us see someone, Lord, maybe they're saved, as Brother John taught in Sunday school. Maybe they're not on fire like they used to be. Maybe, Lord, there's a distance between You and them. Could be, Lord, there's someone even out in the far country, Lord, that needs to come home. Lord, I'm asking You today just to speak to our hearts. May the Word of God be real. May it come alive to us this morning. And God will give You glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Pray for my voice this morning, please. I hope it doesn't become obnoxious. I preached down in Churchill last night, and we had a good meeting down there. I didn't know for sure that I was going to be preaching, but sometimes God will let you have an inkling. And I had an inkling, and sure enough, it came to pass. I was called on, and I just ask you to pray for our voice that it'll hold up well this Lord's day. I've been thinking about some things, and I've been carrying a burden, and I appreciate the Lord allowing us to carry a burden. People are hurting physically, hurting spiritually. Our country's hurting. And I don't know in my life that I've ever really looked at these verses that I just read in your hearing in their context. Really, in the book of Lamentations, these are the only encouraging words that you find. Everything else paints a dark picture. Everything else, Jeremiah, you all understand, he's the weeping prophet. He's the man whose heart is broken over the sin of Israel, over the sins of Judah. He's the one that understands that Jerusalem has been destroyed. Jesus, when he's weeping over Jerusalem, he's looking at it in a prophetic manner that in 70 AD it will be destroyed. Jeremiah is sitting down in the ashes. Jeremiah sees that the city has already been destroyed. You might say, preacher, what in the world's that got to do with us today? I want to give you three things in the chapter today. I don't even know what I would title the message this morning. Maybe just title it, Great is Thy Faithfulness. God is a faithful God. God gave the people of Israel Jeremiah when they needed Jeremiah. And God gave them a message when they needed a message. And I want to show you today some things here that I think will help us to see the faithfulness of God, to see his mercies, to see his compassions. And I believe it would be a blessing in our hearts and our lives. The first thing I see is the sorrow in Jeremiah's heart. Can I tell you that I believe the Christian life is not supposed to always be a mountaintop experience? Can I tell you, beloved, listen, that this pastor's heart is broken over what went on in Kingsport this weekend? Can I tell you that my heart is broken because our kids go to school and get taught that they come from a monkey? Can I tell you that my heart is broken because we have come so far in society that we don't need God anymore? Can I tell you that my heart is broken, listen to me carefully, because our church is surrounded with churches with women preachers? Oh, you say, preacher, you ought to just get up and hammer all that this morning. I'm going to tell you something right now. Listen to me carefully. I'm going to show you in the Word of God that Jeremiah was living in a dark day, but his heart was broken over the day that he was living in. Brother John touched on it in Sunday school. We could ask, when's the last time you wept over your kids? But we could ask a little deeper question, when's the last time you wept over somebody else's kids? When's the last time you wept over the van kids? When's the last time you wept, beloved? Listen, because this country, it starts in a community. Years ago, it was out in California. Years ago, beloved, it made a difference in whether you got elected or not. Whether you believed that marriage was between a man and a woman. And now it don't matter what you are, IDR beside your name, it don't matter what you are. It's just become commonplace and accepted, and it ought to break the hearts of God's people. You say, preacher, that's not very encouraging. It's encouraging to me to know that in the midst of it all, God is faithful. I see the sorrow in Jeremiah's heart. Look in verse number 1. I am the man that has seen affliction by the rod of his wrath. He hath led me and brought me into darkness, but not into light. Surely against me as he turned his hand against me all the day. My flesh and my skin hath he made old. He hath broken my bones. He hath builded against me and compassed me with gall and travail. He hath set me in dark places as they that be dead of old. He hath hedged me about that I cannot get out. He hath made my chain heavy. Also when I cry and shout, he shutteth out my prayer. He hath enclosed my ways with hewn stone. He hath made my path crooked. He was unto me as a bear lying in wait, as a lion in secret places. He hath turned aside my ways and pulled me in pieces. He hath made me desolate. He hath been his bow and set me as a mark for the arrow. He hath caused the arrows of his quiver to enter into my reins. I was in derision to all my people and their song all the day. He hath filled me with bitterness. He hath made me drunken with wormwood. He hath also broken my teeth with gravel stones. He hath covered me with ashes. He hath removed my soul far off from peace. I forgot prosperity. I said my strength and my hope is perished from the Lord. Remembering mine affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall, my soul hath them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. Beloved, Jeremiah has a heavy heart. Look at Jeremiah chapter 9, please, for just a moment. Jeremiah chapter 9. I want to share a verse of scripture with you. The Bible said, "Oh, that my head were waters, and mine eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people. Oh, that I had in the wilderness a lodging place of wayfaring men, that I might leave my people and go from them." Watch this. Jeremiah's saying, "God, if I just had a way to escape this mess that we're in." Beloved, I'm going to tell you something right now. You can have your head in the sand if you want to, but this country is in a mess. This country. Y'all say, "Preacher, Jerusalem was destroyed." Well, would it make any difference if you knew, beloved, listen, that communities and countries and companies will be destroyed one day after a while? Because they have dishonored the God of heaven. The word of God said here, if you look at it in Jeremiah 9, "For they all be adulterers, an assembly of treacherous men." He said, "Preacher, they're not all sodomites." No. "They're not all adulterers." No. But it got so dark, Brother Rose, in Jeremiah's heart that he couldn't even see a glimmer of hope. He couldn't even see a ray of hope. He forgot. If you look up with him in Isaiah chapter number 1, the Bible said in Isaiah 1 verse 9, "Except the Lord of hosts had left unto us a very small remnant, we should have been as Sodom. We should have been likened to Gomorrah." You say, "Preacher, what are you trying to say?" I'm trying to say, beloved, we see the sorrow that's in Jeremiah's heart. Isaiah saw a very small remnant. Jeremiah didn't even see that. He said, "They're all adulterers." If we're not careful, beloved, listen to me carefully, we won't realize that God, He has promised in this book that He will not leave Himself without a witness. Until our Lord comes again, there will be a remnant on this earth of people that believe this is the Word of God. Of people that believe there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. Of people that believe that living right is still right. That loving God is still right. That God created us in His image. And that the babies, listen, belong to God. Amen. I'm telling you, beloved, we're going to believe that marriage is between a man and a woman. Not between a man and a man or a woman and a woman. We're going to believe the Word of God. Isaiah said there's a remnant. It's very small, but there's a remnant. There's not too many people today that even believe the earth was created in 6 literal days. Say amen. All you go on with your geologist if you want to. I'm going to go with my God. Amen. You can think there was a time when you hung from your tail if you want to. I'm going to believe God. The sorrow that's in Jeremiah's heart. Look over with you, if you will, in verse number 48. The Bible said, "Mine eye runneth down with rivers of water for the destruction of the daughter of my people. Mine eye trickleth down." Let me ask you something this morning. When you look around, a gentleman in our church sent me a text this week and wanted a phone number of a young man that's been missing in action around our church for some time because he cares. But when's the last time a tear ran down your cheek because of somebody that used to serve God, used to be in the house of God, used to be faithful to God's house, and now you can't find them with a search warrant? Amen. Jeremiah is brokenhearted. Jeremiah We see the sorrow that's in his heart. Where's the sorrow in our hearts today? Where is it? Where is the sorrow over God's people that won't speak to each other? Where's the sorrow over families and siblings that won't speak to each other? Where's the sorrow? God didn't make us to be like that. Say amen. Jeremiah's broken. There's the sorrow in his heart. I'm reading now from Dr. J. Vernon McGee's book, Through the Bible. Dr. G. Campbell Morgan tells the story about Dr. Dale of Birmingham, who used to say that Dwight L. Moody was the only man who seemed to him to have the right to preach on hell. When someone asked Dr. Dale why he said that, he replied, because he always preaches it with tears in his voice. I will tell you something right now. The people that marched in this parade, that's not ashamed of their sin, have a great need. Some of them, it may be too late for that need to be met. The Bible said in Romans chapter 1, he gave them up. He gave them up. And then it said he gave them over to a reprobate mind to do that which is unseemly. But did you ever stop and think there might be some young person that sucked into that, that if God could just get a hold of their heart, would pull them out of that mess? By the way, let me just say this. That mess ain't no different than all the other messes he found us in. Sin. The Bible said if we offend in one point of the law, we're guilty of all. We see this sin is really bad. Reminds me, years ago, my pastor worked in the funeral home. He was one that embalmed the bodies. Two guys were shot. One guy had one shot in the chest. The other guy was shot all to pieces. A young man came along and said, man, he's dead, but he's really dead. No, they were both dead. Whether it's one sin or whether it's multiple sins, whether it's one bullet or whether it's multiple bullets, we're dead. That's how he found us, dead in our trespasses and sin. You say, preacher, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say that I believe Jeremiah would have looked downtown and had a broken heart. Let me tell you something this morning. Listen to me. You might not like what I'm going to say, but I'm going to say it anyway. Where we need to be, Brother Steve, is shouting, realizing if it wasn't for his grace and his mercy, we could be marching in that parade. If it wasn't for God, Brother Gary, that took the blinders off of our eyes, Brother Dick, and showed us our sin, showed us that we were on our way to hell without God. If it wasn't for God that had mercy on me, I could be leading the parade. You say, preacher, are you condoning that mess? Are you crazy? I'm not condoning anything. But I'm saying this. One of the reasons they're in that mess, one, ain't nobody that knows Christ had compassion enough to tell them there's a better way. Had compassion enough to warn them of the judgment that's to come. David Garrick, he was one of great Shakespearean actors of the past. He told about the day he was walking down the street in London and he found a man standing on the corner just yearning over the people. Garrick said, I stood on the outside of the crowd, but I found myself imperceptibly working myself in until I stood right under that man and there came down from his breast hot tears. He went on to say that there was a woman there pointing her shaking, withered finger at the man who spoke. And she said, sir, I have followed you since you preached this morning at 7 o'clock. I have heard you preach 5 times in the streets of this city. And 5 times I have been wet with your tears. Why do you weep? That preacher was George Whitefield, a cross-eyed man who was on the English stage and denounced from almost every pulpit in that country. David Garrick went on to say, I listened to George Whitefield, and as I listened to him, I saw his passion, his earnestness. I knew that he meant that without Christ, men would die. Without Christ, men are going to die. They're going to go to hell without Christ. And it don't matter if they go from a gay parade or Baptist pew without Christ. They're going to hell without God. Listen to this. I knew that he meant that without Christ, men would die. As I listened to him, Brother Stephen said he came to the place. He's already preached five times. He came to the place where he could say no more. And what came out of his mouth, Brother Sam, was, oh. And this man was an actor that's writing this. And he said, if I could say, oh, like George Whitefield said, oh, he said, I would be the greatest actor in Hollywood. But George wasn't acting. He was broken and burdened for the sin of the people. I'll tell you where we're at. Some of you ain't never going to worry about what's going on in the sodomite crowd until it comes to your house. But it's done come to our country. It's done come to our companies. It's done come, beloved, listen, to our community. You say, preacher, what are you trying to say? We're inviting the judgment hand of God on us. As a country, as a community. I believe, listen, that companies, listen to me carefully, that support that mess are inviting the judgment hand of God on them. It doesn't matter what company it is. You say, preacher, what's the matter with you? I tell you what's the matter with me. I got babies. That are growing up in America. And some days I wonder if God doesn't come back first to get us, what will America look like? 10, 15. I'm going to tell you something. Listen to me carefully. I'm trying to be nice about this. But there's some older folks sitting on the pews in Bible Way. You ain't too worried about it because you'll be home in heaven. It's time we wake up. Get a hold of God. You can retire from the job. But beloved, you can't retire from being a child of God. It's time we wake up. It's time we had some people that said, it's not time for me to do less. It's time for me to do more. To reach somebody with the gospel of Jesus. He said here, if I could say, oh, like George Whitefield, I'd be the greatest actor the world has ever known. The only difference was that George Whitefield was sincere. He was not acting. J. Vernon said that's the same for Jeremiah. Jeremiah's not acting. He's sincere. I'll tell you, the hatred that's being magnified in our country, if we could just get that much hatred mustered up towards sin, if we could get that much hatred mustered up towards the things of the devil, it would be a wonderful place. The first thing in the message this morning, now you're really praying, aren't you? Is the sorrow in Jeremiah's heart. The second thing in the message this morning is this. I want you to see the source of Jeremiah's hope. He had a heart full of sorrow, Brother Steve. But in the midst of it all, right here in the middle of the Lamentations, God gives us these verses that we just looked at a moment ago that we just read. He gives us hope. Can I tell you something that really gives me hope? One day, my wife and I, we had two children. One day I got saved, February 22nd, 1987. I got so burdened, Brother Steve. I laid on the couch and cried like a baby. I said, God, what have we done? Bringing them children into this world. Brother Thurman, that was back in 1987. Well, we've come a long way since then. And the Holy Ghost spoke to my heart, a new Christian. He said, son, don't you worry about them youngins. I'll be the same for them as I am for you. I'm the same yesterday and today and forever. I don't care how bad it gets in this world. My God will be the same. He'll save everybody that'll look to him. He'll give every child of God hope in the darkest place in their life, in the deepest sorrow. The word of God said, I recall to mind, therefore have I hope. It's of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed. I say to you, it's of God's mercy that Kingsport is still on the map. And this church is still on the hill. It's the mercy of God. I appreciate so very much. And we tried, Brother Ralph, our best to honor the memory of Brother Jack and Sister Geraldine and the ministry that went on here for years. And I'm going to tell you something right now. This church ain't here because of Brother Jack. This church ain't here because of Brother Vinoy. This church ain't here, beloved, listen, because of a preacher. This church is here because God said, I'm Jesus. And upon this rock I'll build my church. The gates of hell not going to prevail against it. Our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not claim the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. The source of Jeremiah's hope. He said it's of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed because a lot of things changing. Listen, this might bust your bubble. But he loves that crowd. For God so loved, was it the white world or the Baptist world or the Methodist world? No, God so loved the world. Or the black world, or the poor world, or the rich world? No. I'm going to tell you something right now. God knows exactly how to hate sin. He's righteous. He's holy. And he knows how to love a sinner. Everybody that goes to hell will go over the love of God. They'll step over the love of God. They'll go over, by the law, the blood of Jesus. They'll step on his blood and step over his blood. Go to hell without God. I am a believer that God gives every man an opportunity. He can speak to a man through the stars and the moon and the sun. They speak every day. And I believe if man will act on the light that God gives him, God will give him more light. But if he rejects that light, he'll die without God. And he'll go to hell. The source of our hope. The Bible said they are new every morning. His compassion's new. Did you hear him say this morning, I love you? Brother John, you're all up in my heart this morning teaching. Because just this morning, I had to tell the Lord that I failed him. I had to ask the Lord to forgive me. I had to ask God for mercy. Don't you look at me like that. God will put Pharisee on your back as you go out of here. Oh, I'm telling you, beloved, ain't none of us doing quite as good as we think we are. The source of our hope. I could preach a while right there, but my body's about done. Let me give you the last thing this morning. I want you to see the secret of our help. Drop down with me, if you will, to verse number 40. The Bible said, let us search and try our ways. How many's been around long enough? Brother Vic, you've been around long enough. No, that's hard to do. A lot easier to look over at somebody else, ain't it, and see what's wrong. Jeremiah said, right here's the secret of getting help, Brother Steve. Look in that mirror. David found that out. Listen, after he made that great blunder, David found out, he got before God, and he said, search me, oh God, try me, know my heart, see if there be any wicked way. Is that right? David was a man after God's own heart. The secret here, let us search and try our ways and turn again to the Lord. Brother John, there's that word, repentance. Turn. Don't keep going down that way. Turn. Turn. Say, preacher, I haven't been concerned. I haven't really thought about what's going on. Many won't until it comes home. Till their kid comes in, tells mama, I like a girl, says, mama, I like girls better than I like boys. And my teacher said, that's all right. The book said it's all right. I got a book that says it's not right. I got a book that says it's against nature. People today shacking up and won't get married. I got a book that says it's adultery and fornication. I'm glad we have a God that has mercy in every area. The secret is examine ourselves. Let us search and try our ways. Turn again to the Lord. Watch verse 41. Let us lift up our heart with our hands unto God in the heavens. I'm going to tell you something, beloved. Listen, there's nothing wrong with seeking counsel. The Bible said there's safety in a multitude of counselors. There's going to come a time in your life when the only way you're going to get your help is to reach right up where it comes from. Oh, God, help me. Watch this now. The Bible said we have transgressed and have rebelled. We're living in a generation, Brother Wayne, where mom and dad say, well, they're not smoking dope, so as long as they're not smoking dope, oh, I know they're full of rebellion, but they're not smoking dope. They're not getting drunk. Rebellion, the Word of God said, is that's a sin of witchcraft. A mother, a father, a grandmother, a grandfather ought to be off in a closet somewhere weeping, saying, oh God, take that rebellion out of my boy's heart. Take that rebellion out of my girl's heart. It'll kill them. It'll destroy them. But I'm going to tell you something right now. We're not going to get a prayer through to God on behalf of somebody else's rebellion till we take care of our own. Watch what the Bible said right here. We have transgressed and have rebelled. Thou hast not pardoned. Thou hast covered with anger and persecuted us. Thou hast slain. Thou hast not pitied. Thou hast covered thyself with a cloud that our prayer should not pass through. Everybody's a child of God in this room. Raise your hand, would you please? You know you've been born again. Would you raise your hand? I want to ask you a question. Brother Tim, has there ever been a time in your life when you knew your prayer wasn't going through that cloud? Me too, bro. Most days there ever been a time in your life where you knew it was just a form You're going through the motions. One old preacher said it like this: the heavens are brass. They just bounce off. God said it'd be that way till we find out the secret of our help. Our help is to come humbly and become honestly before God and say, God, it's not my brother. It's not my sister. It's not them people down there at the parade. But it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. I believe when that happens, God can send revival. I believe when that happens, we can, listen, God, Brother Ralph, you said it right. He's been good to us. God's let us see more in recent days and weeks and months than many churches see in decades. But we better not rejoice in that. We better rejoice because our names are written in heaven. And we better get our life clean before God. Get that rebellion out of our heart. Quit telling God what we'll do and won't do and come before God and say, God, I'll do anything you want me to do. I'll be anything you want me to be. The secret of our help, let us search and try our ways. I've said this for years. I'll ask for a show of hands. How many knows the difference between reading the Bible and the Bible reading you? How many knows the difference in what I just said? I love it when the Bible reads me. That my father, Brother Gary, would love me enough to straighten me out. Not let me go on in the error of my way. I got an idea this morning. If Jeremiah was in Kingsport this weekend, Jeremiah would have wept over what was going on. So many times it's the physical things. I'm sure down in Florida this afternoon at 2 o'clock, Brother Steve, there'll be some weeping going on. There'll be a husband that misses his wife dearly. There'll be children that miss their mother, sisters that miss their sister, and brothers that miss their sister. But I'm telling you, Jeremiah wasn't just weeping over the physical things going on. Spiritually, they were in great decline. And they needed help. Thank God for a man of God that knew where their help was going to come from. The psalmist said, I'll lift up mine eyes into the hills. Somebody said, well, does your help come from the hills? No, he said, I'll lift up mine eyes into the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. In other words, he's big enough to make that hill, big enough to make the whole world, and he's big enough to help me with whatever I need help with. Brother Ralph, if you'd get us a song.